Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at
Menards. You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex, industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit GuardexGroup.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Mike Brewer.
And I'm Andy J.
And you're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. Not to be confused, dare I say, Andy,
yeah,
with a TV show with a similar name, which I also host.
Oh, okay.
This one is about moi,
yes,
the Wheeler Dealer, hanging out with you, my passenger, in the passenger seat of this car that we're driving. And in the back seat, we've got
always over my shoulder,
in my ear, Mrs. B.
Who's next to me this week, then?
Do you know what we're going to do this week, Michelle? Because we had Matt Goss as a guest.
Yes.
And he was just unbelievable.
Great stories.
Great stories. Brilliant human being.
Lovely bloke.
You know, I'm still recovering from just how good that interview was. So why don't we keep the seat in the rear next to you empty and let's invite in the audience.
Oh, I can put my feet up. What?
No, you can't put your feet up. No, because I'm inviting the audience to come and sit in that seat. We're going to cram them in.
What car are we in this week?
Right, so I knew you was going to ask what car.
Well, it's another alphabet episode, isn't it? Those of you that listened to the first alphabet episode will know that we started rather imaginatively with A. So today, for Brewer, or for Mrs. B, or indeed for Bentley, which is what I think we should be driving.
Absolutely. I was just about to say...
can I drive?
You can drive if you want. I can sit in the back seat and the passengers can be the audience. How about that? We're just mixing it up this week.
I get my hat out.
Right, so be careful, everyone, because Mrs. B's driving, and I've witnessed this. If you see a Bentley doing an excess of the speed limit, that will be Mrs.
That's
B.
Me.
That will be Mrs. B.
It's a pretty nice place to sit, isn't it? If you're sat in the front of a Bentley, Mrs. B's driving, so you don't have to worry. You and I just hanging out in the back. Front of a Bentley is astonishingly comfortable. Those of you that are people that have been in a Bentley before will know that this is the case. Those of you that haven't, I encourage you just to go into a showroom just to sit in one, because the choices of massage you can have now in a Bentley's chair. A shiatsu massage, a wave massage, lumbar and so on. Never mind your heated seats. That's great.
Standard. It is like you've got this little little person behind you just massaging your rib cage.
Don't you have one of them?
All the way down to your buttocks. It's absolutely wonderful.
No, your buttocks.
Never massaged me in 34 years. I hate
That's
to
That's why you're
Michelle.
Still here.
Yeah, really. Anyway,
let's move on.
So, Bentley. What I love about Bentley as well, and this is, funny enough, is a little bit of a question I said to, or a thing I said with Matt Goss. Being that, you know, I've travelled around the world. I've been so fortunate to do enough things that's led me to go around the globe a few times. When you're in Australia, South America, living in LA, on the Vegas Strip, or Canada or North America, wherever you are, if you see Bentley coming the other way, you go, ooh, there's England.
Yeah.
That is England here in this country. So you could be anywhere in the world. If you see a Bentley, it just summarises what we're all about.
It's rich England, though, isn't it?
It's rich England. Yeah, but it's England, as in it's what we're all about. We're the finest engineers. Yeah. That's why all the Formula One teams are here.
Yeah.
We're the finest designers. That's why all the designers live here. It's just the finest of England, and you can see it just cruising down the road wherever you are and think, yeah, it's a little slice of England.
Can I just
say,
it's funny how you have to look at who's driving it as well.
Yeah, always. When you see a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, you always have to take a look who's driving it. It's very true.
It's kind of assumption that it's either a famous person or a very wealthy person. And probably the case. It's interesting, Bentley's kind of perception has changed in recent years as well. Do you remember for a while, and I know you're big into your rap, Mike,
yes,
you know, Bentleys were the go-to for music videos, for rap artists. They were kind of like, yeah, we've got to be in the Bentley, hanging out in the Bentley. They replaced the G-Wagon for a while, didn't they?
I can tell you, Andy, I was a part of those whole conversations that were happening around the time that this was happening. So back in 2001, where you have to remember what Bentley were back then. You had the, you know, you had the Arnage, the Bentley Arnage, and that was a big stately car that was owned by blokes with blazers and gold buttons and school ties. And then Bentley produced a car called the Bentley GT, which was a coupe, more sports car, which they wanted to bring in a younger audience, a younger brand. And of course, Bentley did the right thing by lending that car to rap stars and pop artists. And we had this phenomenal thing happening at the same time called MTV.
Yeah.
So you would switch on MTV and you'd see some rap artist bouncing around the Bentley, throwing money and gold chains. And it really upset the old school. So the old school were leaving Bentley as a brand by their droves. And I was a witness to that because I was at Geneva Motor Shows, Frankfurt Motor Shows, LA Motor Shows at that time. And I was seeing people walk up to the stand and literally wanting to throw their keys back at the Bentley people and say, I'm not going to buy one of your cars again.
Where did they go then?
They went somewhere. They went Rolls Royce or they went somewhere else. But at the time...
Two gangster for them.
I had an interview and I'm trying to remember who was the head of Bentley UK was then. I remember I did a very in-depth interview on a TV show I was making called Driven, and we sat down, we spoke about that, and Bentley didn't care. Bentley said, no, you know, if we are to survive as a brand, we need to find a new audience and another audience. You know, we can't exist by the school blazer alone. We need to go somewhere else. And they smashed it out of the park, didn't they?
And
now look at them. You know, Bentley now make an SUV, the Bentayga, the most ridiculous thing. And they sell that by the bite. As soon as they made one, they sell it. It's as simple as that.
I got to say, I'm kind of confused by the Bentayga, and I'll tell you why. I have driven one. I've done quite a few miles in a Bentayga, and to drive it, it is glorious. I mean, it is incredible. It's got so much power. It's so easy to drive. It's so comfortable and so on. But I personally feel it is one of the ugliest expensive cars out there.
Yes, it seems to me a car too far. It's okay. Just like, you know, why? We have Range Rover. You know, they've done the job really well up until now. But it doesn't matter what we say. Bentley are going to... Exactly. Ferrari are making an SUV. If you're going to make an SUV and you're going to put it into one of these emerging markets, you're going to sell it by the bucket load.
I just feel that Bentley's design team
I have to just interject. Okay. I stood with Ian Callum and Jerry McGovern at the Geneva Motor Show, and I hope they're listening because they'll remember this moment when Bentley were introducing to the world the Bentley Bentayga. Mm. And I'm stood in the audience with Jeremy in there, and we're all waiting to see the cloth come off. But we could all notice that underneath the cloth, something was afoot. There was something moving, and it was moving the cloth. Okay. Like there was a window open in the car, obviously, under the cloth, and there was something moving. So we're all intrigued when Dot the Wolfgang, whatever his name was given the speech about this new car that's coming to the market that's going to revolutionise the world. This is Bentley's future. We're all going, what's going on with the car? Right. What's going on? And then the cloth came off the car, and I hope Ian Callum and Jeremy McGovern remember this. The cloth came off the car, he opened the rear door, and some guy gets out holding an eagle.
What?
And there
an
was
eagle?
An eagle. And he said something, yes, and he said something like, and the guy was dressed like the Steve Irwin, you know, he had the shorts on and the safari
like a zoologist.
Zoologist. Was he lost? With an eagle. And we all stood there bemused, going, what's all this about? And he went, and of course, Bentley, we saw like an eagle. And then the guy with the eagle just walked off the stage. And everyone looked at each other and went, who? What? Was you trapped an eagle in the car? That eagle has sat under a cloth in that car for the past hour waiting for his glorious moment, and the door opened, he walked out.
I feel sorry for the eagle, and I wonder if they were trying to deflect from the looks of the car.
I think they were. I think that was what it was, because I do believe Jerry and Ian at the time both looked at me and went, well, that's a bit of a... I mean, it,
Do you think it's a bit like the stunt they had with the Cybertruck where they threw the baseball bat out of the window saying glass doesn't smash, glass smashed?
Look, I don't want to say this out loud and I don't want to upset the people at Bentley because, you know, actually a car can grow into its own skin.
Yeah.
You know, we all said that about the Porsche Cayenne when it first came out. We went, ugh, what Porsche doing? But now you look at them, you go, actually, they're quite cool. Yeah. And I think the same about the Bentayga. But at the time, I thought, and just correct me if I'm wrong here, I thought it looked like a dog with worms in the park. you know what I mean? You know when a dog's dragging its arse on the floor in the park because it's scooting because it's got an icky bum hole? And then you look at the Bentley Bentayga with his big back, and I thought, oh, it looks like a dog with worms.
Well, it certainly didn't look like a blower, that's for sure.
No, also, my favourite ever car, Bentley Blower. 1929, 1930, open-wheel touring car, Bentley Blower. God, one day.
Talking about cars that aren't necessarily the greatest looking things. In our humble opinions, and what do we know?
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this. Before we even get there, I can feel it coming because it's a B, isn't it?
It is a B. Go on.
You're going to say about BMW.
Yeah, the new face.
And you're going to say about the new face on the BMW. Right, okay. This is a big controversy, isn't it? The new face on the BMW. Because it looks like one of those, you know, a beaver that's making a... It does, doesn't it?
Has the beaver got worms as well?
It's the beaver. Beaver,
beaver with worms.
Right, so it's a couple of things, right? It's a beaver. If you look at that one that's on the 4 Series, it's a beaver, isn't it?
Okay.
It's the beaver's front teeth.
Yep, that's fair.
And that's obvious. Once you see that, you can't unsee
that's
it.
That's true.
Right? It's untrue. It's very true.
Yep.
Or, right... It's a robot's arse. Think about it. It looks like a robot's arse.
Yes, okay, yeah, yeah.
Right? And if you look at the 7 Series, or the, you know, the big one, the 7 Series, you know when you go to football and they put those fences up to stop, you know, crowd control? I mean, it just... It's like you're behind some kind of big fence.
Do you like it or do you not like it?
Well, it's just the same. You know, when Chris Bangle took on this new design language for BMW, everyone went, we hate it, we hate it, we hate it, we hate it. BMW 3 Series become the best-selling family car in Europe, right? After we all said we hate it, all the journalists moaned about it. So what do we know, right? It's what the public want. Then they come up with this ridiculous design language where they've taken what was that amazing kidney grill that we've all grown and loved, and we all, it's the immediacy of a BMW. As soon as you see it, you know what you're looking at.
Yep.
They took that grill, and then they just took that grill to the extreme. And dare I say, I feel... And lots of other journalists and lots of other YouTubers and lots of other people in my position with a voice and a microphone have all said the same thing. They think it's a bit over the top and a bit too far. But in 2-3 years' time, it won't matter because everyone would have bought them.
Do you know, it's a bit like when you hear a song for the first time and you're like, no, I'm not into it. Don't like it. Then you hear it a couple more times and you realise it's got a bit of a catchy hook.
Yeah.
And then you get 5-10 listens, it's number one. You're like, oh, it's a good track,
it's great.
This one.
Yeah,
it's good
I love
track.
That.
But I haven't got there with the new BMW face, but I can see it is slowly going to creep
but,
in,
but
isn't
I'm,
it?
But I'm not there with BMW, believe it or not, me personally, I'm not there with BMW after the E46. I think after E46, so that period of time, 2007-08, I feel for me, I just can't fall in love with them in the same way.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to test you on this. The i8.
Right, now that's a clever one that you brought that up, because it has got a sedate grill on it. It doesn't look like kind of like a robot's arse.
It's like a sci-fi car.
It's a sci-fi car. Incredible value for money now. You can buy those cars sub-30 grand.
Can you?
Yep.
Sub-30?
You're sub-30 grand.
Like
they've come
80,
down in
90,
price.
100 new, haven't
yeah,
they?
They still look incredible. They look like a proper out-and-out sports car. One of our friends, Rick Parfitt, he runs...
Love him.
Love him. Rick, son of the famous rock guitarist...
Status Quo. Yeah.
Status Quo.
Yeah.
He runs and drives one of those cars, and I see him in it, and it looks still looks really cool. I mean, it's still a cool car, and it hasn't aged. You know, that's a car that hasn't aged.
It's sort of got DeLorean vibes in that way.
It has.
Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I feel, actually, you know, that's a really good one, Andy, because people are often asking me, what's a future classic? You know, it's a very tough question to answer. But I must remember to put that one in the back of my brain. A BMW i8 is most definitely a future classic.
I would like one. I'm a big fan. I think they're lots
get
of
one.
Fun. It's a challenge with having so many children.
Oh, yes, yes, you are. You need to tie a knot in that, let me tell you. So B for balls, have them all. You need to get those things struck off and stop having children. Give her a bloody rest. Poor Mrs. J.
Thanks for listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, brought to you by Gardex Group. We've just pulled in for a quick pit stop on our journey through the automotive alphabet together. And whilst I've got you, let me tell you about Gardex. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
This Wheeler Dealer Podcast is brought to you by the letter B.
Bugatti, where are you with
right,
that?
Right, so Bugatti, owned by Audi, you know, is it a Bugatti? Is it an Audi? I don't know.
It's expensive.
So I've never actually driven either a Veyron or a Chiron. I've seen them, been up to them, sat in them. But I've never actually driven one.
I have sat in Guy Berryman. There you go, B. Guy Berryman's one. He's the bassist for Coldplay.
All right, cool. Yeah, I've met him.
Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. In fact, he's someone we should get on this show.
Yeah, he's somebody we should get on. So I met him, and he was just sort of standing next to his Porsche 911 at a Bicester Scramble, and nobody knew he was. He was just sort of standing next to his car.
I guess when kind of Chris Martin's your front man, he kind of takes all the eyeballs, doesn't he?
He does.
But he's still, I mean, Guy Berryman's great. He loves his cars.
He's a good guy.
He's behind the Road Rat magazine, which is a brilliant magazine for automotive, like petrol heads, people like us. And he also does a bit of racing case rooms.
But he's got a Bugatti Chiron?
He's got a huge collection, but I think it's a Chiron, yeah.
Right, he's got a Chiron. Yeah. So, look, I feel that the Chiron, right, I love the fact that the Bugatti name still exists and it's still out there, but I feel that the Chiron, it's got one modus operandum, isn't it? Modus operandi, whatever it is, which is fast, you know, that's it. It's flat out, it's flat fast. It's probably the most unpractical, stupid thing you could ever own on the planet. I think, what is it? Somebody said, was it Clarkson that once said, if you put your foot down in one of these cars, you'll empty the tank in something like 11 minutes, you know, from four. So, but frankly, it's a pointless car in a world that we don't need. We don't need a car like that. But I'm glad it exists because it points out the special people amongst us.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I've got to say, Mike, you know, when we think about Alphabet, and we'll have to jump to the public as well, because we've had some great suggestions on your Twitter as well. We always appreciate hearing from you. So thank you.
I've got some Bs.
To those of you, you've got some Bs. But one of the cars that you and I have spoken about historically, and I used to be on the fence about this, and you talked me around, and now I have a huge appreciation for them, is the Boxster.
Right. Now, this is really good, right? So the Porsche Boxster, okay, this is a mid-engined Porsche that was bought in sub 911 money, but at the time it was only like half a second slower than the 911 to 60, the Mark 1 1999 2000, that kind of year. Plus then they bought out a sportier version, the S, you know, of an engine that could actually compete with a 911. And dare I say, in some respects, a lot of journalists, when they tested it against a 911, handles a lot better because it's mid-engined. The thing that obviously people poo-poo it for is it's a two-seater car. It's not a four-seater car. Well, you know, nor's a 911. And people always...
Hasn't held the Cayman back, has it?
Yeah. And people... Well, no, that's had a... You know, that's what changed Porsche's fortunes again. But people always considered, if you had a Porsche Boxster, people always considered that a poor man's 911.
Right.
And yes. I always thought that was a really bad stigma and very unfair. Because Porsche Boxsters today, you can buy them for sub $5,000. They're an amazing car to own, run and drive. They're timing chains, not timing belts, so they very, very rarely go wrong. And if you buy one, that's good service history, and it will last forever. Remember, this is at a time when Porsche were making really good cars. They were making a 996, and that car's got, you know, good leather. It's got good carpets. They use good... What I'm trying to say is, back then, they were using really good materials. You know, it was...
Beefer build.
They were using really, really good quality materials. So if you buy an early Porsche Boxster, again, future or modern classic today, they're worth their weight in gold.
Can I ask you, because I don't know, which is actually one of the reasons why I'm asking you, one of the things that was charged against a 997, and this is why I want to ask you about the Boxster, early, so pre-2011 997s, there were bore scoring issues, B for bore scoring. Is that the case with the Boxster as well, or is that had they ironed that out by then?
No, they'd ironed it out because it's a different engine. You know, it's a different configuration of engine. The Paul Scorer issue was definitely a 997 problem, which I've addressed in one of my shows that I do. But no, the Porsche Boxster, you know, people, the timing chain, although I said it's got a chain, not a belt, it can stretch, so you can get a bit of play in the timing chain, which will rattle the engine ever so slightly. It's difficult to do because it's a mid-engine car. You have to drop the engine to do it. The price is usually about £2,000 to do that. But in my opinion, you're still buying a Stuttgart badge that gets you exclusivity into this club. You can park your car next to a guy who's got a Carrera GT at the Silverstone Classic. And when you get out of the car, he'll give you a knowing nod because you've got a Porsche. Yeah, you know, your one cost you £5,000. You change your timing chain £2,000. You're in a car for £7,000. It's going to last you a lifetime.
And it still feels great fun to drive. Shall we jump to the dear listeners that have been getting in touch with you?
Because
people have been getting in touch via Mike Brewer's B social media. I'm on it now, this alphabet thing. I'm just going to keep emphasising the letter we're on.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Well, this one is definitely steered at me, and you know, maybe you might have an answer for it as well. It's from Flyboy Tyler on Twitter.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Tyler, when he was born, they went, that's Flyboy, that's right there.
I'd love it if that's his first name.
And this is, he's obviously thinking of me. B for Big Boy.
Okay.
Big Boy sports cars. What are the best sports cars, old and new, for the larger frame people like me?
I like this.
Fat.
Let's go bulky for B.
B for
I'm not,
bulky.
I'm not calling you bulky, but you called yourself fat, which I think is right.
So what car best suits my frame? You ain't going to believe this, right? Not too long ago, I bought a Mini Cooper S.
Oh, I love it.
Right, Mini Cooper. Not only a 1964 Mini Cooper S, which I slide into and it sits around me so comfortably, it's unbelievable. It's sliding. It's got more room, that car, more room inside that car than I got
Sorry, Mrs. B's making me laugh.
Than I got in a 911.
How did he get out?
The roof comes off. But then I also bought a 2014 Mini Cooper S.
Okay.
With the 2 litre BMW engine, proper pocket rocket, had the John Cooper Works kit all over it, big exhaust. It was mapped. It was ridiculously fast. And it was a proper little sports car. Again, I fitted in it beautifully, so comfortably. So for the larger frame guy, that's the one to go for. I have a Porsche Taycan, which is a sports car, electric sports car.
The electric one.
Impossible. The B pillar on that car is too far forward. You have to slide around it and drop yourself. You have to slide around it. Well, of course you don't. There's nothing of you. You weigh the same as a dry J cloth, Michelle. You do. You're like a basket of soup. There's nothing of you.
Basket of soup.
That's what she's weighing.
Work. Soup.
That's what she weighs.
I eat more than you.
I know you eat more than me, but you eat garden, Michelle. That's all you
garden.
Eat.
Garden. You should
is
try
garden.
It. You'd slide in and out.
So what you're saying is, for the larger framed gentleman, the sports car you're recommending is a mapped Mini Cooper, John Cooper Works. What S?
What I'm trying to say is that because somebody has a bigger frame, it doesn't limit their car choice. Okay, another really good sports car. So I got to drive a lot of McLarens, especially when we lived in LA. I had a McLaren on the driveway every week. And if you have a 720, it's the wider boys McLaren.
Yeah, the GT, I think, the 720 GT.
And it's a really comfortable sports car for the wider frame guy, you know, a guy like me. Bentley GT, we spoke about earlier.
Bentley GT,
you know,
a great
that's another great shout. It's a nice, comfortable, big armchair that you can sit in. Almost every BMW is going to have a comfortable seat for the larger frame guy.
Yeah.
And it's going to have 6'7" extended leg room as well, because Germans are very tall chaps. And of course, another one, beginning with B, is a bay window VW.
There you go.
Not a sports car. That was a suggestion.
But plenty of fun.
It was by Dave Jones VW. Clearly, he loves these VWs.
Well, I mean, he could jump in a Beetle.
Oh, this is a good one. Listen to this one from Andrew J. So he's Andrew Jones, I think he is. Ready?
It was me. I was writing to you then.
Andrew J. I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
Battery. See where he did with a B.
Like that.
Are B for battery cars going to get any cheaper within the next few years, or is it worth looking at the second-hand market?
They have to, don't they? I mean, it's the problem is with supply as well. I mean, you'll be much better placed to know this, Mike, because you're buying and selling cars left, right and centre, whereas I'm just kind of looking at the markets. But you'd have to assume that with us all being enforced to every new car from 2030 has got to be electric, you'd have to assume they're going to make them more affordable, better range and so on. I'm not entirely convinced that the government will stand by that. I can see some kind of brakes being applied, B for brakes. I can see some brakes being applied on that soon-ish if members of the government choose to spend a bit of quality time in an electric vehicle, drive it properly around long distances. I'm not just talking about hopping around town. I'm talking about properly using motorways and doing hundreds of miles. I know there are EV purists and God love you. You know, good for you. Plenty of EV people out there have done it because they believe they're helping the planet. The problem I have is the times I have had an electric car and I've done thousands of miles in EVs, I have never had an easy ride with the charging network.
No.
I have always struggled. And you own an EV.
Yeah, and I've struggled as well. And B also stands for busted. And Tesla, that's a T, by the way, Tesla have just reduced the prices of their new cars dramatically by 15, 17% on a Model Y, which means that the used car market for Teslas has taken a complete dive.
Which sort of answers your friend's question.
To answer his question, yes, electric cars are now getting cheaper on the forecourts, and people are starting to realise that, yes, we all rushed out to buy them because we was incentivised by the government.
Which we're not anymore.
Which we're not anymore. We was all told to go and buy one. Lots of people did. And then we've all realised, actually, the network can't cope with it, and there's queues of people at Tesla power stations up and down the motorway. I've never had an experience where I can plug in my Porsche and it's worked. It always kicks out or kicks off or locks the thing into the hose into the car, and I have to phone the company to get them to reset the machine. It's not been an easy experience. It's been quite painful.
And it's,
let's hope it gets better.
It has to improve. The question is, can they improve it by 2030? And you sort of, the answer has to be, you've got to if you're going to continue to enforce that timeline.
Right, look, B, I'm going to put the brakes on this.
Hey.
Because we've been going for far too long. You got a B-related question, Mrs. B?
I have.
Yeah, it's got brownies. So, it's got to be brownies.
No.
What?
If you've got a bit of money to invest, what sort of old banger would you go for?
Get in. Beautiful, lovely question. If I've got a bit of money to invest, a beautiful old banger to invest in, Michelle, I'm always going to say these words. I've been saying it for the past two decades. I'm going to repeat myself again. Buy any fast forward you can get your hands on. That market is kind of crazy at the moment. So fast forward. Go and get yourself an XR2, a Mark 1 XR2, Mark 2 XR2, Mark 1 Escort, Mark 2 Escort. It doesn't matter. Just get yourself a fast forward as an old banger. Doesn't matter if it's got the floor's got holes in it. Just buy one. The market is just still on the ascent.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
There you go. You've been listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast. We've been delighted to bring it to you. Thank you for those of you that have dropped so many messages to Mike on his social. We always love to hear from you. I say we, it's Mike that reads them. But you can check out Mike, of course, across Instagram, TikTok, we won't go there, Twitter, of course, and on Facebook. You love it when people get in touch.
Yeah, I mean, it's what the show's all about. We have put this podcast together. Yes, we're the two voices, but it's all about you. It's what you want. So we've got some amazing guests lined up coming next week, which I'm very excited about. Yes,
yeah, let's keep it a secret.
So we've got some amazing guests coming up. We've had some amazing guests. Don't forget to like, ring the bell, follow, whatever you need to do to make sure you get this in your inbox. And as ever, it's been amazing to have Andy J sat beside me and the wonderful Mrs. B. It's been brilliant. You can say
that every night you answer everyone who communicates to you.
I do. I try my hardest.
We don't have a conversation.
That's why you never go to bed.
Don't have any Yankee Banky. There you go. There's the answer.
This has been a TBI Media production. We really appreciate your company, and we will be back in your ears with a brand new episode. Well, in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solution provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com. Ta-da!